First Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Especially now in light of Lord's Day 45, verse 17 and 18, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord's Day 45, page 25 in the back of your Psalter. And we have there four questions and answers. Question 116, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117, what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer first, that we from the heart pray to the only true God only, who has manifested Himself in His Word, For all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? Answer, all things necessary for body and soul, which Christ our Lord is comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Prayer is the need, and prayer is the calling of every child of God. No one's too young, no one's too old. And so the Catechism now begins its consideration of prayer under our thanksgiving that we give, or our gratitude for our salvation. And perhaps in an introductory way, we should first of all notice the necessity of prayer. And the necessity of prayer is this, that God commands it. It is a command. If you look at the Lord's Day, there answer 116 says, God requires this. Answer 117 says, all things that he has commanded us to ask of him. And then question 118 again repeats it. What has God commanded us to ask of him? God commands his people to pray. Let's be honest with ourselves. There is a painful and there is an oppressive lack of prayer. While the need for prayer increases, this world increasingly grows dark and evil. It becomes harder and harder for us as children of God to live in this world. Not to be affected by that world, not to go along with that world, but to be that remnant that the Lord will keep for himself. And so we need to come with the disciples of old, the disciples of Jesus, with a very simple request now, Lord, teach us to pray. Notice the necessity of prayer. God requires, God commands it. And may it not be merely that it is because God commands it, but we will to do it. We desire to do it. Now don't be surprised that we have a command here. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Now, hopefully they love their wives not just because they're commanded to do it, but because God has brought them together, because there is the will within them to love their wives, and vice versa. So also in the Christian life. There is a command, a requirement that we pray, and may God work with His grace and Spirit the will to pray, the need for prayer. What would we do without that avenue of going to God? We need to be prayer warriors. Or the sermon title, Pray Without Ceasing, from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Notice with me the meaning of our text. The reasons for praying without ceasing. And then thirdly, the characteristics of that prayer. Question and answer 116 implies that Christians need to pray regularly and habitually. We need to pray regularly and habitually. In other words, prayer is not like a fire extinguisher there in case of emergency. Any classrooms, schools, churches, buildings have a fire extinguisher there somewhere mounted on the wall in case of emergency. You leave it alone unless there's an emergency, and then you grab it and then you use it to put out the fire. Prayer is not just around for us to look at or to think about or to speak about and only to use occasionally when there's an emergency in our life. Then we run to the Lord and say, Lord, help! Nor is prayer a mere exclamation, as many people will all of a sudden say when they are surprised or they're disappointed, oh my God. Prayer is not a mere exclamation often used to impress someone else. The Pharisees in Jesus' day went around. They said their prayers in order to impress others. And Jesus said, you have your reward. God doesn't hear those kind of prayers. Nor are prayers just merely routine expressions that we bring to God. Phrases that we've learned and phrases that tumble off our lips easily when we're asked to pray. And fifthly, prayer is not an instrument to change God's mind or God's plans. Especially it is the Neo-Pentecostals that say prayer changes things. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer does change people. Think of the Apostle Paul. He prayed concerning that thorn in the flesh. He prayed three different times in his life, earnestly. He was a changed man. He was able to say later on, I will glory then in mine infirmities, for when I am weak, then am I made strong. We need to come with our prayers with a proper address to the sovereign God who is revealed in His Word. God has revealed Himself, God has revealed His will, His promises, and we come now to that God, not to a God of our own imagination, not a kind of Santa Claus who gives us whatever we ask. God has revealed Himself as the wise and good God of His people, who will bless them. And we come to Him as He's revealed Himself in His Word. And prayer then is, second of all, a covenant conversation. Prayer is a covenant conversation between God and His people. God speaks to us, and He's given us lips and a tongue to respond to His Word. In any marriage relationship, in any kind of communication, it is important that there is good communication, that communication continues to flow back and forth. The husband speaking to his wife and the wife speaking back. Many failed marriages, one of the reasons is because of the lack of communication. So also in prayer. If our relationship to God is going to be a living, a vital relationship, all that it ought to be, then there is this two-way conversation. God speaking to us in His Word, and then we speaking back to God with His Word, in response to His Word, in faith in His Word, in praise of Him. And what that means then also is that prayer is only for the regenerated child of God. For only the regenerated child of God has ears to hear what God has to say to His people. And only the regenerated child of God has the heart that loves the Lord and wants to respond back. I don't care to talk or respond to everyone that's around me. Quite frankly, if I'm taking an airplane ride, I like to have my book or I like to close my eyes and sleep. And I really kind of hope the person next to me in the seat doesn't sit there talking the whole way, the whole flight. The regenerated child of God wants an audience with his God. God speaks to the regenerated child, and the regenerated child says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth," and then responds with praise or faith or request. A covenant conversation. Do you think of your prayers that way? The intimacy in our relationship, our God in Christ Jesus and us as lovers. Many times the Bible pictures God as the husband. We are His people, His bride. And now the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, they're scared. Terrible things are happening. And that's why this chapter begins, "Of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that we write unto you. You know the day of the Lord is coming. It's coming as a thief for the wicked, not for the righteous." By the way, yes, the Lord is coming as a thief, but notice, not for the church. Not for the church. There's signs given to the church. The Lord in His love gives signs so that we are aware. We see Him coming. It's coming closer and closer. No, we don't know the hour, the day, the month, the year. But the Lord Jesus is not coming as a thief when it comes to the church. But we live in that world. And that's why the Apostle Paul says now to the Thessalonians, with this terrible dark world that we live in, it's only getting worse. Pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean, first of all, boys and girls, that we're always standing there with our hands folded and our eyes closed. For it's pretty hard to work. And we have work to do as God's children in this world with eyes closed and hands folded. That's not the meaning of the text. 24/7, always uttering prayers. But it means this, that our prayer life must be habitual and it has to be regular. This is what ought to characterize the life of the child of God. He's a prayer warrior, or he prays without ceasing. So many passages in Scripture that talk about God's people praying. I'm going to mention just a couple of them. Psalm 88. We read in verses 13 and 14, "But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer come before thee. Lord, why castest thou me off? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I'm afflicted, I'm ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I'm distracted." Oh, the child of God, if he doesn't have prayer, if it doesn't seem that God is hearing his prayers, what a dilemma. What an awful feeling. But the psalmist says, "Unto thee have I cried." Do you notice the intensity there? I've cried. Not mumbled. Not murmured. I've cried. Ephesians 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." The Lord is coming. The night is growing darker. "Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." That's how we do it. "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." We did that together as a congregation, didn't we, this morning? We prayed for ourselves as we're here in worship. We prayed for those who could not be with us because of sickness or recovery or age. And we even prayed for those who weren't here, who ought to be here, who are being admonished. We pray for all the saints. And beloved, that's not only something that we do in our congregational prayers, is it? But it's something that we're called to do in our family altars and in our private prayers also, isn't it? Praying for all the saints. Colossians 4, verse 2, "Continue in prayer." Don't give up. "And watch in the same with thanksgiving." Jesus told the parable of the woman with the judge. The judge didn't care anything about her. He didn't care about justice. But because she kept on praying, because she kept on coming to him, finally he grants her request. Oh, if an evil judge does that, how much more will your God in Christ Jesus hear your continued prayers? Psalm 5, verse 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." What a beautiful way to start the day, not grumbling and complaining because it's the day to go back to work or it's time to get out of bed, but with a prayer on our lips. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Lord, thank thee for the good night of rest. Lord, thank thee for the new day and new opportunities. Lord, thank thee for those around me. Make me a blessing." How much should we pray? Psalm 55, verse 17. "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Pray without ceasing. That same psalm, Psalm 55, then has those well-known verse, verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, roll thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Oh, the Lord cares for us evening, morning, and noon. David, when he was surrounded with adversaries, prays in Psalm 109, verse 4, "But I will give myself unto prayer." And David says that as a type of Jesus Christ, even as he went to the cross, in his years of suffering, he was known for his solitude when he would spend the night in prayer. And you see him in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's going to the cross. I will give myself to prayer. Pray without ceasing. Habitual. Daniel, boys and girls, do you remember him? The enemies couldn't find anything wrong with his life, except one thing. He made a habit. He made it a habit to always face Jerusalem and to say his prayers. And nothing would stop Daniel from doing that, not even an edict from the king. Regular prayers. Every day, not just in emergencies. Yes, also in emergencies. There are times and occasions when we're troubled and we cry out to God. We read in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you." Yes, at times the Lord puts His hand upon us. And then we cry out to God in those troubles. Boys and girls, do you remember King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah, when Sennacherib was going to come against him, wrote a nasty letter, and Hezekiah, what does he do? He takes that letter and he lays it before the Lord in prayer, and he prays, "Help thy servant." And when he's told to get his house in order, for he's going to die, again, he comes to the Lord in his prayer and he says, "Lord, give me more life." Not a selfish prayer, but a beautiful prayer. He had no child yet. The line of David had to continue. And the Lord added to his life. Pray without ceasing. Hopefully at this time you say, "Well, what a blessing prayer is." Whether it be our joys or our sorrows, whether it be our health or our sickness, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. Many of us, probably from childhood on, have sung the words of that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And in that first stanza, the words go, "What a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." We began this new year by looking at that passage where God says to Moses, "My presence will go with you." Well, child of God, don't go through one day. Don't go through a week feeling all alone, "I got to fight this battle by myself." You don't. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Never alone. But as a wife may turn to the strength of her husband, we, the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, may turn to our God with all of our joys, but also our sorrows. We're never alone. Pray without ceasing. Regular prayer in our life, habitual prayer. What are the reasons for that kind of prayer? The Catechism asks that, doesn't it? Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Notice, it doesn't say why is prayer necessary for the heathen? Why should they turn to the Lord? Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Those who are the bride of Christ Jesus, those who are soldiers of Christ Jesus. Why is it necessary? We could answer that. The Catechism doesn't use that phrase. It's their vital breath, isn't it? It's their vital breath. Communication with their God is vital. They need to pour out their hearts to Him. They need to ask for His help and His blessing in their life, as it's necessary in any relationship, lest we become distant. It happens in marriages, doesn't it? It can happen between friends if they don't communicate with each other. It can happen in the Christian life. God seems distant to us. And why? Because we haven't been listening to His love language to us, and we haven't been speaking to Him. Why is prayer necessary? And the Catechism says first. First, because prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness. Notice how the Apostle Paul brings it out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says in verse 17, pray without ceasing, verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And realize that in the original Bible, there's no numbers. There's no separate verses. These verses belong together. You shouldn't separate them. Pray without ceasing in everything, giving thanks. We're compelled, aren't we? We're compelled to give thanks. Compelled to give thanks for our wonderful deliverance through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. Compelled to give thanks because all of our sins, though there's so many, they're all washed away, forgiven. And not only that, that's just the beginning. Not only are our sins washed away, but we are being delivered from the power of sin. Christ, by His Spirit, continues to sanctify us. We're compelled to give thanks because through Jesus Christ, you and I, the church, has an assured place in glory. This life is not the end, and hell is not the end for the child of God, but glory. Oh, we can never repay Him for His great gift. Nor does He expect us to repay Him. But God rejoices in our prayers of thanksgiving. Let me use an illustration here. If you give or have given gifts to a person, you don't expect them to pay you back. But you do expect them to be thankful. They should send a note of appreciation. Otherwise, I wonder if they want it at all. It is only natural that we would express our thanks to someone else. So also with our God. He delights in doing good to us. And He expects and He delights in having His little children thank Him for those blessings day by day. That means, beloved, that means that our focus in our prayer, our focus is not on ourselves, but our focus is on God. And our focus is on what God has done. If you look at the Psalms, which are prayers, many of those Psalms have no request in them whatsoever. But it is simply an exclamation of praise and of glory to God for who He is, for His attributes, and for His work. Why must the Christian pray? Well, because this morning we woke up again and we see the beautiful snow hanging on the trees and on the ground. The beauty of creation. And we give thanks to God for His providence in our lives. Giving us this warm clothing to put on, a warm building to worship in, a building that we can meet in every week. That He's in control of this world, even though as sinful as it is, He's in control. We give thanks to Him for our redemption, don't we? We give thanks for Him for the precious promises in His Word, and we claim those promises. We're thankful for those promises. We give thanks for God, for who He is and what He has done. Yes, as the first petition of the prayer will go on to say, hallowed be Thy name. May Thy name be held high by us and by all those who love Him. May His kingdom come. May His will be done. Beloved, that expression of thanksgiving is very important. We might be very ashamed. We might be very ashamed of our neglect of thanksgiving. God forbid that our prayers become really just our list that we bring before God of things that we want. Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this. We need to sit back and evaluate our prayers. Praise and adoration and thanksgiving should be really the whole of our prayers. Yes, there's place for requests. And Jesus is going to teach us in this prayer what things we ought to ask for. But before asking, just bowing down and acknowledging His greatness and His glory and His goodness. Examine that, and we'll be humbled. And when we focus our eyes on God and what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do, oh, beloved, then our eyes are opened. Then our ears will be attentive to His voice. Then our mind will be alert. And as the psalmist says, we will taste and see that God is good. That's the greatest blessing of prayer, isn't it? Focusing on God and seeing His awesomeness, His greatness, His glory. We just sit there and marvel. And that we are children of God. And that we are the bride of His Christ. The world is going from bad to worse. And we might be filled with discouragement if we look at history, if we look at politics. But over against that dark picture, you and I can confidently, when we focus on God, say, God is good. God is gracious. God is wise. God is near. But the catechism goes on, we should pray, we must pray without ceasing, not only as an expression of thanksgiving, but also because God will give His grace and Spirit. Do you know your need for God's grace daily? Do you know your need for His Holy Spirit in your life? What would one day be like without God's grace? A particular grace only shown to His people. If it's not grace that we experience, it is wrath. How we need that beauty of the Lord to shine upon us. How we need that power of God to dwell within us. Lest we be like all the rest of sinful humanity, running like rats in a race to their destruction. Without grace, life was awful. And without God's Spirit, life is without strength. We're not united to Christ Jesus and held in Christ Jesus. How we need the Spirit. We sang it, didn't we, this morning from Psalm 43. We read in Psalm 43, verse 3, O send forth thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. You see, we come to God's holy hill not only when we're together here as a congregation, but we're standing there on God's holy hill when we come as individuals in prayer to God, when we come as a family altar to our God in prayer. God demands that we wake up and we pray for His grace and His Spirit. For notice what the Catechism says, the Lord will not give His grace and Spirit unless, or God will give His grace and Spirit to those only who ask. Have you been asking? In a couple of weeks, we're going to look at Elisha, when he comes to Elijah. What is his last request of Elijah before Elijah is taken up in the whirlwind? Oh, that I may have a double portion of thy Spirit. God will not give His grace and Spirit except if we ask for it. Those only. So, beloved, looking at the meaning of praying without ceasing, the reasons for doing that, finally, the characteristics of that prayer. And we find them before us in this catechism. First of all, we have to pray from the heart. Praying from the heart is the opposite of vain repetitions. And from Matthew chapter 6, we know what Jesus thought of vain repetitions. He would like to put something in their mouth to shut them up. From the heart. A heart that seeks God, that loves God. A wholehearted prayer is a prayer that is alive. It's a prayer that is urgent. It's a prayer that is intense. Oh Lord, give me thy grace and Holy Spirit, or I die. Lord, help me, or there's no hope for me. Wholehearted prayer. There's a beautiful song about that, isn't it? Hopefully we'll sing it next week. Wholehearted thanksgiving to Thee will I bring. In praise of Thy marvelous deeds I will sing. In Thee I will joy and exultingly cry. Thy name I will praise, O Jehovah Most High. The eighth stanza of that same song. The wicked shall perish, the nation shall fall, forgetting their God who is God over all. But God will remember the prayer of the weak, most surely fulfilling the hope of the meek. Pray with all your heart, with intensity, with urgency. Second of all, pray with humility. For our prayers come as those who are needy. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Humility, because we're very conscious of our sin and our guilt, and we confess that sin. We're not worthy of it. Knowing our misery and sin, we look to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we bring our request in His name and for His sake. Assured of God's forgiveness and deliverance. I cry to Thee in the morning, O Lord, hasten to help me, says the psalmist. We pray from the heart, we pray with humility. We don't deserve it, but God is gracious. And thirdly, we pray with faith. James talks about that, doesn't he? Our requests aren't just thrown out there and we see if it does any good. No, we pray with faith, trusting God. trusting God because He is our God, because He is our Father through Jesus Christ, and He delights in His children. Trusting in God because He is good. Trusting in God because He is wise. Trusting in God because He is gracious. Trusting in God because He will give us what we need. Not always what we want. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes His answer is delayed. But He will give us what we need. That's the God that we pray to. Pray with faith. And when we get that answer, no, as the Apostle Paul did when he prayed about that thorn in the flesh, then bowing and saying, that too is good. Because God will give me what I need, what's best for me. And when the answer doesn't come immediately, we don't become impatient, but we lay our requests again before our God. Perhaps it's about a disobedient child of the congregation, as we prayed in our congregational prayer. Perhaps it's a disobedient child in your family. Perhaps it's a lingering sickness. God is good. God will work out His purposes. And He is pleased with His children coming in that faith. Thy will be done. What do we pray for? Not just anything that comes to our minds. Jesus' disciples come to Him. In Matthew's Gospel and again in Luke's Gospel, teach us to pray after this manner. And then the Lord shows us the contents, that is, the things that we are to ask for. What things shall we pray for? Surely, surely not those things that are contrary to God's will. Don't pray that you're going to win the lottery. It's not God's will that you're playing a lottery, gambling. If you're a young man, there's this cute girl at work. Nice, cute, but she's divorced. Don't pray that she's going to start looking at you and that you could take her out. That's not God's will. You pray according to God's word. You pray according to His will. Jesus is going to teach us what our proper request of our God. Pray. Pray the very promises of God. That's what we should pray for. Take those promises with faith and then take them to the Lord and say, Lord, Thou hast promised. I believe it. Praying. Beloved, not only do we need the theology about prayer, but we need the activity of prayer. Having the beautiful theology of prayer set before us in the catechism, now we better get down on our knees. Down on our knees a lot more often than we do. Pray without ceasing in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Father in heaven, teach us to pray. To pray without ceasing. To enjoy this intimate time of communion with Thee. Amen. Let's turn in our Psalter to number 301. O Lord my God, for thy name's sake, in mercy deal with me, because thy kindness is so great. Or again, stanza 2, O thou who art my Lord and my God, thy gracious help extend. We'll sing all four stanzas. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.